Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, do not miss Nashville's best NFL draft coverage on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. You can join Jaron Stillman, D-Mace, and Chris Sanders as they broadcast live from Twin Peaks and Cool Springs, home of the 29-degree beer, this Thursday for day one, round one of draft night. Speaking of draft night, leading up to the day of the draft, D-Mace has broken down the film of some of his favorite prospects at certain position groups of need for the Tennessee Titans. Yesterday, we broke down corners. Today, it's your day, D-Mace.
We got the scrolls.
Absolutely. It's receiver day.
His special pages in the scrolls that he's got for the wide receivers. Yep.
Yes. Yeah, so I've went through several different players in this sort of evaluation of potential guys that the Titans can pick. And all five guys, I believe, will, you know, could fit in what the Titans are doing, some more than others. But I think all five of these guys will have an impact on their team, positive impact on their team, whoever they go to. But
Number one,
we're going to head up north, straight up north, to the Buckeye State. Ohio State, Jackson Smith and Jigba.
The Ohio State.
I hate saying that.
I hate that.
Yeah. Listen.
But he's not the only Smith and Jigba, because there's a guy for the Pirates that plays for
Pittsburgh. Yeah, you're right.
I was at the Cardinals game. My dad and I was in St. Louis a couple weekends ago. I'm at the Cardinals-Pirates game. And, like, at this point, I'm deep into draft stuff. We're deep into drama and to rumors. And I look up to the screen, and it's – I don't remember his first name, but something Smith and Jigba. And I'm like, am I dreaming? I've been getting into way too much draft coverage that I'm now
seeing things. I think
Willie, are they related? I didn't even look.
Willie would have walked out of the building. Too much draft.
Yeah, too much draft. I thought this was baseball.
Exactly. So, number one,
absolutely.
Jackson Smith and Jigba. I have notes on all these guys. Great ball skills. Excellent route runner. He high points the ball. And I've said these things many times about Jackson Smith and Jigba. Smooth route runner. Quick and sudden. He separates. He had a big 2021 season where he had over 95 catches for 1,500 yards and I think 9 touchdowns. But you got to remember, some of those yards, I think 300 or 400 of it came in a bowl game when a lot of Garrett Wilson, Olave didn't play, and he became the number one guy. He showed up, and he showed up big in that bowl game with over 300 yards and I think 3 touchdowns. So he had a huge sophomore junior year, but his senior year or his junior year, is he a senior or junior? I believe
he's a junior. So it would have been his freshman and sophomore year. Really,
so his junior year wasn't as good, and it wasn't because of his play. It was because he didn't play. He played one game, I believe, and then shut it down because of the hamstring issues. That, too, I think is a con for him, because what have we said about Mike Vrabel? He doesn't like hurt guys, especially those with hamstrings. So, but other than that, he's one of those guys that you rarely find in a draft, combination of quickness. Doesn't have top-end speed, but he has good speed. Side-to-side movement is excellent. High points the ball, catches the ball really well. He's fluent in his routes. It's like he's running with ease, like he's not trying, but he's more of a slot guy. Out of the 414 snaps he took his sophomore year, 367 of those were in the slot. So the Titans need an outside guy, not necessarily an inside guy. If they love Phillips, Kyle Phillips. So he would be more of an inside guy, not an outside guy. So
not much of a burner either.
He's not a burner, but he finds, he's crafty. He gets open. He has yards after the catch. Another thing is the point at which he catches the ball is not as deep as you would like to see it. I think Titans need a guy that when he catches the ball, he's average 8-9 yards down the field. Jaxon Smith-Njigba, a lot of times, it's basically a yard catching and then going, mm-hmm. which he does an excellent job at that. So, but he's more of a slot guy. He's not your outside guy, but he's probably the best slot guy in this year's draft.
Does he complement Treylon Burks well in your mind?
He would. But again, it's what do you think of Kyle Phillips? You know, if you think Kyle Phillips is that guy, then why would you draft Jaxon Smith-Njigba? Because he hasn't spent a lot of time on the outside.
Knowing what we know about Mike Vrabel, what they chose to do in free agency, you know, the call out of David Long Jr., mm-hmm. Christian Fulton, do we think it's realistic that the Titans would have him high enough on their boards that it would be within reach? And Jaxon Smith-Njigba isn't falling to 41.
No, he won't fall. I predict him to be a first rounder. We're in the first round, probably more so late first round, mid to late first round after the Titans pick. I don't think if the Titans stay at 11, they're going to necessarily take a receiver. They may move back, mm-hmm. then get him, but they're not taking a receiver at 11.
I would probably agree.
Yeah.
Number two.
And these guys are in no order. I'm just giving it to you as I wrote it down on the paper. So it's not like, oh, Jaxon Smith-Njigba is not number one guy, and then other guys kind of fall in place. The guy that I love, is Jordan Addison. This guy, I mean, he reminds me so much of, it's like a combination of Jimmy Smith, in a sense, because how smooth he is, Keenan McCardle, because how smooth they were as receivers. But it's almost as if he has this burst, like the kid that went to SC, the running back.
Reggie Bush?
Yeah, Reggie Bush. Mm-hmm. He has that burst like Reggie Bush. Like, he can stop on a dime and then get back going very quickly. He's a 4.4 guy, so he has the speed to get deep. 5'11", so he's big enough to play inside or outside. He was the Biletnikoff winner 2 years ago at Pitt. Y'all got to remember, he transferred from Pitt to go to SC. Mm-hmm. Now, he didn't have a season that he did the prior year. I think he had 1,500 yards when he was at Pitt. He only ended up with 800 and some yards. He, too, dealt with some injuries. I think it was an ankle injury. I could be wrong on that, but it was a lower body injury. But this is another guy that you can put him inside. You can put him outside. He's a three-level route runner, which means he can run shallow crosses, he can run the intermediate routes, and he can go deep. There's been plenty of times, you watch the film, this guy's getting deep. Man-to-man coverage, he's beating zone coverage for post and go routes. And he has an uncanny ability to stay on his feet, even when the defender is there getting ready to tackle him. I've seen him a few times where he's wrapped up in the midst of catching the ball, and he manages to stay on his feet and get extra yards, if not a touchdown. Not many receivers can do that because you're concentrating on catching a football. Well, he's catching a football and staying up as guys are draped on him. So this is a guy, he gets great separation. Again, he's a three-level guy, and I already told you what that is. 23 of his 59 catches came on screens. That may be a little bit of a concern, mm-hmm. But he's shown in the past that not only can I run screen plays, which is prevalent now in the NFL, screen plays. A lot of teams use it at least 10 times a game. I've seen it, you know, at times more than 10 times by either that particular team or the team they're playing, like both together. So whereas it could be bad, but it also could be good because the NFL now is doing a lot of this screen stuff just to get the ball into the receiver's hands and go. But to me, the only probably knock on him is the injury history. And you really want to know why the production went down from his Biletnikoff year to last year. It could be him learning the offense and the injury. So that would be
splitting more snaps.
Exactly. That would be a small concern for me, but not a big concern. But this kid, I love him. He's everything you would want in a wide receiver.
And I think, too, comparing the two injuries between Jaxon Smith-Njigba and Jordan Addison, an ankle injury doesn't scare me as badly as a hamstring that left him out for basically the entirety of the 2022 season. But let's get into more of your wide receiver breakdowns. And Adeemays has three more wide receivers that could be potentially within the range for the Titans to draft in the first round. We'll get into those coming up next. Caroline, Willie, Adeemays, and tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tonight at 6:35 p.m. on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds take on the Omaha Storm Chasers, AAA affiliate of the Kansas City Royals. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. 1025-1063 The Game. Caroline, Willie, Adeemays, 1025-1063 The Game, and the Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. And every single day leading up to the NFL Draft, Adeemays will present his homework, his film study that he's done on different positions of need for the Tennessee Titans. Players that the Titans could take with the 11th overall pick, with the 41st overall pick on day one or day two. Today is Adeemays' day. It is receiver day. Broke down Jaxon Smith-Njigba and Jordan Addison, the top two, you know, consensus receivers in this year's draft. But you have three more that you broke down.
Number three. And I'm going to call this guy simply, and I'm going to coin this simply, and I've said it before, secondary shifter. He's a secondary shifter, which means, people, I'm giving you a visual here. Okay, say he lines up right or left. It doesn't matter. You're in a three wide receiver set. Doesn't matter if it's a pro set. It's just two by two. Don't matter. He lines up. You look over there. He goes off. He gets off the line of scrimmage. Not only is that corner going back up, but that safety that's back there watching everybody, he's going to shift over too, a little bit. And then that backside safety is going to shift over a little bit more. Why? Because this kid has the capability of running out of the building and running past you if you're not paying attention to it. That's all he did in college, was run by people. I don't know why they just didn't say, listen, we're lining up 10 yards. You can have all you want to. We're going to take away somebody, you know. We're going to send a linebacker out there to take away the underneath stuff. But you're not running by us.
Who is this?
But they continue to let Jalin Hyatt run by them.
Oh!
Jalin Hyatt is a secondary shifter. He's the only secondary shifter in this year's draft that I've seen. I haven't scouted all of them. But this is the only guy that lines up. And you better know exactly where he is, because if you don't, you're not paying attention to him, sort of like Tyreek Hill. He's
going to
make you pay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so those two safeties, y'all better be on the same page along with that corner. If it's cover two, you better get your butt over the top. If it's cover four, you better be playing a half, you know, a third of your field, a quarter of your field. If it's quarter halves, you better be playing it right, because if you don't, if there's a mix-up any with the corner and the safeties or the safeties period, this kid will run by you. He has vertical speed. He's a vertical threat. He does lack creativity after the catch. He's not one of those. And we've seen it all, where a guy catches the ball at 10, 15 yards. He's able to stop on a dime, make a few moves, get around people, and then, you know, get up the field. He's not that type of guy. He's a straight line guy. He can catch a pose. He can catch a goal. He can catch a deep dig. But he doesn't have that sort of those hips to sort of get in and out of the break and kind of give you a little wiggle up top and kind of beat you or whatnot. He's not one of those guys. But he has something that you can't teach, is speed. He catches the ball really well. What I want to see, and I'm sure a lot of scouts are going to want to see, and they're probably hesitant right now, contested catches. Can he make the hard contested catches? He didn't have to do that, frankly, much in that offense last year. A lot of it was he was running by people, catching a hitch or, you know, catching a screen. Even his hitches, if you watch him, he's falling back. He's not a guy that's a natural route runner. He's more, you can tell that he's a track guy or once was a track guy, because the way he runs his routes is not disciplined enough. he doesn't have the discipline right now that you need in the NFL to run routes. Eventually, people are going to neutralize the speed. Ask Tyreek Hill. He went from averaging 15 yards to what did he average the year before he left? I think something like 11 yards per catch. Why? Because team said, no. You're not beating us. You better figure out another way to beat us underneath. And Tyreek Hill did. He became more of a route runner, a more of a three-level guy. Jalin Hyatt right now is not a three-level guy. Can he learn to be one? Absolutely. But right now, I think the concern is this young man hadn't run enough of the route tree than we would like, because a lot of it's been posts, goals, hitches, and quick screens.
I think that Jalin Hyatt can fill a need of the Titans.
Exactly.
You need a speedster. Mm-hmm. And he is a true speedster, a true 4-4 guy. But that is the concern that comes up with Tennessee offensive players is you never had to be creative in order to get himself open, because he was just always open.
Yeah, absolutely.
And yes, the speed is not something that's a product of Josh Heupel's system. That's just something that he has.
Exactly.
He's just fast.
You can't teach it.
It's kind of the double-edged sword with those Tennessee receivers, Tennessee offensive players, is that is so forgiving for quarterbacks and receivers.
Yeah.
What would you...
Number four.
So sorry. What would you...
I'm going to four, but go
We've
ahead.
Moved on to number four. We cannot say anything more about the shapeshifter.
Sorry, I'll shut up.
Did you say shapeshifter or secondary shifter?
Secondary
shifter. So that's different than becoming a werewolf and things like that.
Yeah, shapeshifters. Yeah, that was X-Files. That was X-Files.
X-Files, that's right. You got to be aware of those, too.
We've never asked if he can shapeshift. Jalin Hyatt, first or second round guy?
Late first round. Second round.
So 41, we're talking.
I would pin him more of a second round guy because of the things that I said. He has the speed. We all know that. We've seen it on full display. But he hasn't run enough of the route tree than you would expect a receiver, you know, being in the offense for more than a year. He just hadn't shown much. Now, again, he could learn. I'm not saying he can't. But as of now, he's more of a late first, I believe, more of a second-round guy to me. So, the number four guy, he already put up number four. This guy.
Can't do it again.
I like him. I really do. He reminds me. He's been compared to, and then once I start to look at it more, he does remind you, a sort of a T.Y. Hilton guy. And we all know T.Y. I mean, he just flies under the radar. Damn good player, but sometimes he just doesn't get the recognition that he deserves for what he has done, T.Y. Hilton. But T.Y. has the speed. He has the quickness. He can line him up outside, inside, everywhere. Zay Flowers out of Boston College. Another one of these guys. Zay Flowers.
That scared the crap out of me.
That's the second time you've gotten scared this week, I believe. This is a 4-4 guy. The problem is he's a bit undersized. What I did write about him was exceptional quickness. You can line him up all over the field. So he's sort of like, in a sense, like a – and this is what, you know, NFL teams are doing now, and we know college do it all the time. They take that one guy, sort of like a Deebo Samuel or Jamar Chase. These guys where they're so explosive, once they get the ball in their hands, we just need to find ways we can get you the ball, put you in a slot, put you outside, put you in the backfield. We can do all this. Zay Flowers is one of those guys where you can just line him up across the field. He's durable. To be that small, he's durable. He's only missed one game that I can recall in 3 years, being 5'9", 180 pounds. He's only missed one game. So that tells me he fits right into what Vrabel wants, a guy that's durable, a guy that plays through injury. He has top-end speed. Not only is he quick, he has top-end speed. Again, where do you see him if you're a Tennessee Titan? Do you see him inside? Do you see him outside? You might not want him outside if you're thinking your prototypical outside receiver is 6 foot and above. Well, he doesn't fit that criteria, but he has everything else. He has the speed. He has the quickness. He catches the ball well. Really good route runner. He has all those things, but if you want him to be an outside receiver, maybe, maybe not. I don't know, but you can line him up anywhere on the field. You can put him in a slot. You can put him outside. He can be whatever you want him to be, and he's going to make plays for you.
Number five.
Five and the last one. We're going to go to the west, okay?
Ooh.
Southwest.
Oh.
All right? To the big city of Houston.
Ooh.
The big hot city of Houston. Nathaniel Dale. What they call him? Tank?
Tank.
Tank. Le Tank. Tank just won, too, in boxing. You see, I knocked down Garcia out. I believe that's who it was. But, yeah, Nathaniel Tank Dale. He got better. This is what I wrote about him. He got better each year, which is a plus. You saw the maturity in him. You saw the hard work and everything else. It showed up on the field because each year he got better at Houston. Not only that, he went from 3 touchdowns to 12 touchdowns to 17 touchdowns his last season. So he is a points maker. That's what I'm going to call him.
Points
He's
maker.
A points maker. Just like you call Jimmy Butler, Jimmy Buckets.
Yeah.
He gets your points right here. Tank.
Tank
gets your points. He gets your points. Exceptional quickness and the ability to transition in and out of his routes with ease. That's what sometimes when you're evaluating receivers, I know you look at the height, weight, speed. I get all that. I understand all that. But I want to look at in depth. Like, I want to go deeper than – because I can see that. Height, weight, speed. I can see that.
Right.
I want to go a little deeper. Turn on the tape. Let me see how he runs his route. Is he dropping his hips? Is he getting in and out of his breaks? Is he quick and under control getting in and out of his breaks? And Tank is one of those guys where it's just like – it's like a joystick. He's like a – you know, like you're playing Madden and you hit the joystick and he just – everything is done with ease. There's no false movement. There's no pattern of the feet, you know, pop, 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 and getting out of your break. No. I've always said, how do I get from point A to point B as quick as you? That's the name of the game. It's not about can I run by you. That's part of it, yes. But how can I get from point A to point B as quick as you, the defensive back? How do I then separate myself if I'm running a curl route and you're sitting right there? Can I hit my 12 or 14 yards and come back to the quarterback and not miss a beat? This guy has it. He's a guy that, again, you could put him just about anywhere and he's going to be explosive for you. He is a points maker. Just like Jimmy Buckets, he's a points maker. He's going to get you what you need. And he showed up each and every year. He was a top guy for Houston's offense last year, even though everybody knew the ball was coming to him. 17 touchdowns in that offense. It's a high-powered offense, but 17 touchdowns. This guy will get you some points and he will make you pay if you don't guard him. So that's the last guy on my top five list. Now, that's in no particular order, people. It's not like, okay, I thought Jackson and Jigba was number one, so that's why I went with him.
Right.
And you know, Tank Dale was number five. No, I call it how I see it, and I went through and I evaluated these guys, watched a little film of them, and this is what I came up with. So, but with any of these guys, first you got to understand, what do we need? Where would we place him? A lot of these guys, with the exception of Addison and Jalen Hyatt, are predominant. You can be okay with them being outside guys. The other guys, they can be inside guys, but you have to be okay with them putting them outside as well. But you got to design some things for them.
So, and I think that we can always look at any position group in the top five, period, mm-hmm. versus the top five for the Tennessee Titans, whether it's injury history or the ability to get them where they would probably be taken. So looking at that group of five, which do you think is the most realistic pick for the Tennessee Titans, whether it's 11, whether it's some point in the first round if they decide to trade back, whether it's the second round, the best fit combined with the most gettable in the draft?
Unless they draft back, unless they move back, Jackson Smith and Jigba, I don't see them getting him at 11. I don't see them getting any one of these guys at 11. But Jackson Smith and Jigba, as good as he is, he doesn't fit the need that they want.
Yeah.
An outside guy. Jalen Hyatt, yeah. Jalen Hyatt sort of fits that speed guy, but they got some, you got questions with him.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan Addison fits the prototypical 5'11", 6 foot, 4'4 guy, can play both outside and inside. So you can live with him. They may be able to get him, you know, in the second round. I don't think he falls out of the second round. I think he goes early second round. maybe slip into the first round. I don't know. It just depends on the run of wide receivers. But I think they have an opportunity to get all of these guys. But I don't think they're going to touch any of them in the first round, which probably kind of eliminates Jaxon Smith-Njigba,
right,
and probably Jordan Addison too. I didn't
maybe
bring up
Zay Flowers.
Zay Flowers, and I didn't bring up
Quentin Johnson.
I didn't bring him up because I think he's falling in the draft boards. What I saw from him, and I remember saying this, and we got to go to break, I know, but I remember saying this about the kid, Hollywood Brown, the kid that Cincinnati drafted in the first round. And I saw him play against
Alabama.
Yeah.
Jamar Chase?
No. Before they drafted Jamar Chase, okay, they drafted him. I remember watching him versus Alabama, and he shut it down versus Alabama. I saw it. I said, I would not touch that kid. I would not draft him, not one bit. Quentin Johnson is the same way. When they played Georgia, he was a no-show, a complete no-show. I would stay away from him in the first round. I would. Now, I would draft him possibly late in the second, but I wouldn't touch him in the first round.
Okay, D-Mace's wide receiver breakdown on D-Mace's big board. Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
We'll get your thoughts on that. Plus, coming up next, somebody talked the talk, but they could not walk the walk. We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline Ville, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.